A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights are probably gone.
So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 449. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Crodman Doon and the Flaming Sword of Fire. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This is a BBC Two series from 2009. In 6 30-minute episodes, or in some versions, 5 episodes where the first one is double length. It was a co-production with Comedy Central from the US, and it is a comedy adventure set in a sword and sorcery fantasy world. And it gives us another chance to see when you have genre shows and comedy mixed together. In this case, that sort of high fantasy world.
And we have discussed a few of these sort of mixing of genre and comedy over the years, Brian. Some of them with variable results. Gives us some interesting stuff to talk about on this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
The setup for this show, Crodman Doon, the titular character, as described by the narration, is a thin-skinned and rather underconfident freedom fighter who leads a ragtag bunch of adventurers as they attempt to overthrow the evil ruler of their world. And as you said, Brian, we're in a sword and sorcery setting on a medieval sort of era world. We've got a little bit of Dungeons and Dragons sort of group going on. There's strange creatures. There's various bits of magic that pop up. We're in that sort of high fantasy world.
Yeah, the Tolkien influences and the Dungeons and Dragons influences that you might expect are very much there. And we have this weird group of rebels who are pulled together and struggling through various misadventures as they try to defeat this despotic chancellor and gain some freedom for the people in the whole region.
Although, interestingly, quite often we see the people don't seem too particularly interested, but anyway, we'll come to that.
Yes, for sure. Crodman Doon, played by Sean Maguire, is the leader of the group, a muscular sword fighter who, you know, seems to be known for his looks in and out of the tunic, and is not all that bright and seems to blunder through things a bit. His sword does burst into flame when he's in danger or in certain situations, so we do get the Flaming Sword of Fire from the title.
We do indeed. We have his sort of colleague and former partner, Annika, played by India de Beaufort. She is a sort of pagan warrioress. She frequently uses sex as a sort of weapon of choice, but she also seems to be a remarkably competent and much more confident fighter than Crod. I would say she seems more confident about just about everything than Crodman Doon. And as we learn in the first episode, they've sort of had a relationship which is breaking up. So there's that element of a sort of comedy, or not quite rom-com, but sort of sexual comedy in this as well, Brian.
Yes, there is. Loquasto, played by Stephen Spears, is Crod's devoted servant, who is a pig-like creature from this grovel race, and is somewhat clumsy and a bit useless, particularly with his crossbow. He manages to hit Crod quite a bit, and he is very dedicated, but yeah, not always very competent.
Then we have a magician called Zazelric, played by, I guess, one of the sort of big sign-ins in the cast, the American comedian and actor Kevin Hart. Zazelric is a magician who's actually not that good at magic, it would seem. We do see him make or throw the occasional flash bomb, and he does seem to be able to make a potion from time to time. But apart from that, he does a lot of literal hand-waving, Brian, and a lot of fast talking and pretending as to perhaps why he can't deliver on the magic when it's crucial.
Yeah, he seems to be sort of a sorcerer who doesn't actually have any magic, or much of the time doesn't have any magic. So, yeah, there's some humor there, as well as typical Kevin Hart comedy, if you know his style. It's very much on display. Bruce, played by Mark Rae, is a fighter who was in love with Crod's deceased commander and is now following Crod as he sees him to be the Golden One. Bruce is one of the gay characters here and sort of fits some stereotypes and is a part of the team, the party they have for these adventures.
And you mentioned Crod's former commander, the General Arcadius, played by remarkable British character actor Roger Allam. Arcadius was Crod's mentor, his commander, his sort of spiritual guide. But we see him in the sort of first episode where Crod and the team go on a mission to rescue Arcadius from the dungeons. But then Arcadius is actually killed in the process. But he will reappear at various points in the coming episodes. And I'm going to use the expression a force ghost, Brian, to pop up from time to time and give some spiritual guidance to Crod.
It has very much that feel to it, as the Star Wars ghost of Obi-Wan feels very much like a reference to that. Chancellor Dungalore is the villain of this, played by Matt Lucas, who we certainly remember as Nardole from Doctor Who, but he was also in Little Britain, and it is very much his Little Britain style of comedy that we see on display here. He is the evil ruler of Hesselmeel, and trained alongside Crod, and now is in battle with him for the fate of the realm.
But also, as you say, Brian, a character played for laughs and in that Little Britain style, which I guess is what he was best known for at the time.
Yes, that very much fits into the sex comedy part of this.
And I'll just mention that Chancellor Dungalore is assisted, not always ably, but he is assisted by a character called Barnabas, his right-hand man and advisor, played by Alex McQueen, who I've seen him in a lot of comedy roles over the years, Brian. I think he might be best when he played a version of the Master for Big Finish. And I'm thinking, was that in some of the Dark Eyes stuff?
That was, and among other things, it was originally from a Seventh Doctor story where Alex McQueen turns up as the Master, but they've used him a number of times over the years, and he was always very good in that role.
He makes a very good Master, I thought, from the ones I've listened to.
Yes, he was excellent, for sure. I will also mention that we have some narration here, and we have, in some versions, in the British cut of this, we have Michael Gambon as narrator, which was quite nice to see an actor of that stature filling in that role.
Yeah, he was. He does a lovely narration, actually. Great voice Michael Gambon had, of course.
So, the first episode features Crod Mandoon venturing into territory around Dungalore's castle and attempting to free General Arcadius from the dungeons. And in the process, General Arcadius is killed, which puts Crod in this sort of leader of the resistance type role, and it brings Bruce, who we find in the dungeons as well, to join the party and become part of this mission.
Yes, because as you've said, Brian, there's some sort of prophecy about a Golden One, which Bruce has transferred to mean Crod, which is why he becomes such a devoted follower.
Yes, that's right.
And of course, we've got Annika using her sort of sexual powers, her sexual prowess at various points to defeat some of the guards that are defending the castle and the dungeons. And I'm going to say that as a sort of recurring theme in this series, Annika's openness about her sexuality and her multiple partners has led to the breakup with Crod and will be a constant source of tension between them. Or I'm going to say probably a source of tension for Crod. Annika's not that bothered because of her open attitude to sex and sexuality, but it's always a problem for Crod.
Yes, and of course that's used as part of the comedy in this as well. Meanwhile, Dongolore has acquired this mystical magical artifact called the Eye of Golga Grimna, which has some sort of weapon of mass destruction type of feel to it, like a big death ray or something like that. He intends to use it to overthrow Emperor Zanus and extend his rule even further. And this gives us jokes about weapons inspectors, and we get sort of workplace humor type things coming into it with Chancellor Dungalore and Barnabas and so on.
Yes, we don't expect the sort of evil rulers in this sort of setting to have visits from annoying bureaucrats who've come to do inspections, but of course that's part, as you say, of the comedy here.
Yes. So our production notes.
So Crod Mandoon and the Flaming Sword of Fire was created for Hat Trick Productions by Peter A. Knight, and as you said in the opening, Brian, it's a co-production between BBC Two here in the UK and Comedy Central in the US. Peter Knight, best known, I'm guessing, for being a producer and writer on the very popular Netflix animated series BoJack Horseman, which I confess I've not watched, but I hear is really good, Brian.
It is really good. I have watched BoJack Horseman and I enjoyed it a great deal. As adult animation shows go, it is a favorite of mine for sure. Knight was inspired by The Lord of the Rings, of course, the books, and also by Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Knight also cites some of the humors in The Simpsons and even Get Smart as inspirations in this. He chose the name Crod because it's dork spelt backwards. And apparently he knew someone at school who was nicknamed Crod for that reason.
And I read this little snippet on the Wikipedia page, Brian, and it does seem from the way it's expressed there that the boy at Peter A. Knight's school didn't know about the meaning of this nickname, which sort of bothered me that it does sound like bullying a little bit, Brian. But anyway, we'll note that as we go along, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't know that when I watched this show, because it is a little bit uncomfortable.
So Peter Knight writes the series with assistance from Brad Johnson and Chad Briggs on a couple of episodes. All six episodes were directed by Alex Hardcastle, who's got a lot of comedy directing credits, including episodes of Parks and Rec, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Grace and Frankie for Netflix, and the US version of a show called Ghosts, which I'll just mention, Brian, the UK version of Ghosts, the original, has just, I think, finished its final season, so now becomes eligible possibly for a future slot on our roster.
Oh, interesting thought there. Sean Maguire was cast shortly after doing the 300 parody movie Meet the Spartans, which was from 2008. And initially, he didn't want to do another sword-fighting comedy, but he did commit to the role and to two-hour-a-day workouts to maintain that kind of physique he needed for Crod. And sort of similarly, India de Beaufort was concerned about being typecast as these what are sometimes called sex bomb characters, but was persuaded by her acting coach to try for the role. And the series was shot in and around Budapest, with Orava Castle in Slovakia used for the exterior shots. Some of them, I think, reused a fair bit, but exterior shots of Dungalore's castle.
Yes, there is one exterior shot of the Orava castle that they do seem to use quite a bit. But I have to say that the castle itself and the outdoor setting in Budapest and around in the countryside does look quite good, actually. The locations work quite well.
Yes, this does not look like an inexpensive show at all.
And of course, it's got a flaming sword of fire in the title, so we have to have an actual flaming sword, which was indeed a practical effect with a gas jet running up one side of the blade and sort of piping and tubing running up Sean Maguire's arm. It actually looks pretty good the way it ignites and stays on fire.
That must have been a challenge to be holding that for the shots they used.
It doesn't look as if, you know, it does look a bit unsafe at times, I would have thought, Brian, but there you go. It must be a real sort of concern on set, I would have thought.
Yeah, I imagine it's one of these things where it's a flame that is not a very hot one, but a very visible one. Still, you know, you're still working with flame on set.
And we have mentioned that the show has a sort of humorous narration, which was for the UK voiced by Michael Gambon, you know, an actor with a legendary career, including, of course, taking over the role of Dumbledore in the Harry Potters. And for the US, I gather they had the comedian Chris Parnell do the voicing instead, Brian. But we've both been, I think, watching the UK version.
Yes, that's right. Crodmandoon and the Flaming Sword of Fire was first broadcast on Comedy Central in the US, starting on April 9th of 2009. It ran on BBC Two starting June 11th, 2009. And in the BBC version, they put the first two episodes together and made it a single one-hour episode.
Which does explain some slight confusion about the DVD menus for me.
Indeed. Speaking of which, we should talk about the availability.
Yes, we like to put the availability in towards the end of the first episode so that people can consider whether they might want to get hold of this show before we get on to the next one. Here in Region 2, again, it's nice and straightforward with the BBC. We had a 2009 BBC DVD release, currently about £15. Includes all the episodes, but that first two episodes are run together. So there's only five episodes sort of listed on the DVD menu. But that explains why. But you also get some extras for a change. We've got some deleted scenes, we've got some outtakes, we've got some interviews with various members of the cast, and also I think with the crew. We've got Kevin Hart doing some rather sort of amusing behind the scenes stuff where he runs around and interviews people and talks about various props and sets. So that's all on the DVD. It doesn't seem to be streaming at anywhere I can find over here in the UK, but it is on the cinemaparadiso.co.uk rental site that listener Jill pointed out to us and that we refer to from time to time. Meanwhile, across the pond,
in Region 1, there is a DVD release. It's called the Special BBC Edition. Runs for about $17 US or $23 Canadian at the moment. And it does have that double length episode at the beginning and Michael Gambon's narration. It says it includes extended and uncensored episodes and some extras, which I think are the same ones. It has deleted and extended scenes, cast interviews, outtakes, and behind the scenes with Kevin Hart. So similar to the British release, but available in Region 1, which is nice. It is also available streaming for $9 US on Amazon Prime.
Strange that it's not streaming over here, but there we go.
I guess it works out that way sometimes. With the split between BBC and Comedy Central, that may feed into it.
So that will do us for the first part of our discussion about Crodmandoon and the Flaming Sword of Fire. Brackets, that's a long title. We will come back next time and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the story elements and their adventures or misadventures. We'll also, I think, it's reasonable to try and talk about some of the inspirations or at least stuff that they perhaps borrowed for this series, the ones we noticed. And we're going to talk about representation and diversity in fantasy settings and perhaps muse a little bit on about how television has changed over the past 10 or 15 years, Brian. So stuff to get to when we come back.
Yeah, there's definitely some things to say there. And we'll talk about the idea of genre shows blended with comedy. So we have before, but we'll bring it up again. And we'll get to our recommendations as well. So there's plenty to talk about for next time. Until then, all of our episodes are available at BritishInvaders.com, and if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find us there, and you can also follow us on Instagram and Threads. We are at British_Invaders_podcast.
Come and follow us on the various social media and find out when our next episodes are and what shows we're covering in the coming months. And of course, join us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network, where you'll find British Invaders as a proud member at VogNetwork.com for podcasts, gaming, and all sorts of extra content.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.